This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
Anger. Narrated Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the Apostle of Allah, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, "If anyone suppresses anger when he is in a position to give vent to it, Allah the Exalted will call him on the day of resurrection over the heads of all creatures and ask him to choose any of the bright and large-eyed maidens he wishes."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of Purification of the Soul. In the previous episodes, we've spoken about purification, and we said that it involves a number of stages. What are the two stages, Brother Muhammad, that purification of the soul involves?
The first is, I think, removing any bad characteristics present in a person.
Uh-huh.
And replacing it with good characteristics.
Exactly.
A prime example is if a person has maybe dishonesty in him and he likes to lie, or even if he doesn't like to, he just does it unintentionally, and he replaces that with honesty.
Exactly. Brilliant. So. And Brother Gulraz, you can tell me about how does this link to the word tazkiyah in the Arabic language? The word tazkiyah has a number of meanings.
Tazkiyah means to purify.
To remove, yeah, and clean.
Purify and to increase.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it would be to purify the bad characteristics.
Yes.
And to increase the good ones.
Yes, excellent. And that is the definition of tazkiyatun nufus, that you cleanse or cleans the souls from evil and bad characteristics, and then secondly, increase the soul with good characteristics. Let's look now at some of the bad qualities of the heart and soul, and then see the causes of these diseases as well as their evils. And then we'll go on to look at some of the ways we can cure these diseases and remove them from our souls. Now, the first disease that I'd like to look at is the disease which is known in Arabic as ghadab. Ghadab. Who can tell me what ghadab means in English?
Well, anger, I think it's doing bad things.
Ghadab.
Ghadab. Uh-huh. Yes, yes.
Anger?
I know. Yes, like treating people in bad ways.
Mm.
It's something from inside.
Yeah, so anger in the Arabic language comes from the word ghadab in Arabic. And nobody is free from anger. Nobody is free from anger. Did you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets angry? Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets angry. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He says, whoever disbelieves in Allah after his belief, except for him who is forced into it and whose heart is at ease with faith, but those who open their breasts to disbelief, upon them is the anger from Allah, and theirs will be a great torment. So this ayah shows very clearly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has anger. But on what types of people, which types of people, Muhammad, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get angry with?
Upon those who have disbelieved.
Exactly, as the ayah says very clearly, upon those who have disbelieved. And in fact, the anger of Allah extends further to certain types of Muslims as well. Who are those, Baha?
Well, who don't pray, I think.
Those
so.
Who don't pray, those yeah. who disobey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So.
Likewise, in the same way, the prophets would get angry. Some of the prophets of Allah would get angry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا رَجَعَ مُوسَىٰ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا. And when Musa returned to his people, angry and grieved. And so this shows very clearly that anger is a quality of good people as well, including some of the greatest messengers of Allah, such as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So anger per se is not something censurable, and it's not considered a disease. But there are certain types of anger that are sinful, and there are certain actions that a person does when he's angry that are blameworthy. And what is the key thing in blameworthy anger? And that is excessive anger. It causes a person to lose his ability to think straight. It can overtake a person's intellect. It can overtake his religion. Sometimes a person doesn't even know what he's saying or what he's doing in this state. And this anger, he may lead out to lash out something with his tongue, to give verbal abuse to someone, and this kind of thing. Yeah. Let's have a look at some examples of where anger, a person has done something in the state of anger, but yet he's regretted what he's done afterwards. Brother Muhammad.
I was just going to say that, you know, one of the best examples that I've got is, it's even happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to a lot of my friends and other youth, that when we, you know, play sports or something like this, maybe football or something like that, we don't like the rule or decision that the referee made, or that maybe one of our friends did, we don't like what he did. So we will, you know, probably get a bit agitated, a bit angry.
Saying some words that's, sorry for interrupting, but saying some words that's bad words, and being rude sometimes.
Yeah,
I think so.
Exactly. And these are the consequences, some of the consequences of anger. We'll touch back on that point in a few minutes, inshallah. One instance of excessive anger, it can destroy the relationship between two families, between a husband and wife, between brother and brother, between countries even, and it can even cause wars between people. It can also, if it accompanies a person throughout his life, then people will avoid him. And in the same way, he may lose his job, he may lose his family, he may end up getting divorced, he may lose his children out of custody or anything like this. So some of the scholars of the past, they said that beware of anger, because it leads you to the embarrassment of having to apologize. And this is the point that you made earlier on. And this is very true. I mean, how many times have we seen people who have acted in anger, and then they've had to go through the embarrassment of having to apologize for their rash behavior. Let's come back to the earlier point. I'm sure we've all got examples where somebody's acted in a rash manner in a state of anger. Gulraz, you have anything?
Yes, I guess one of the most famous examples are that of road rage. Like many people when they're driving, you know, there may be calm people outside of the cars, but as soon as they get in the cars, when they're driving,
they're in the comfort of their cars.
That's right.
They're within the, if you like, the walls of the car.
Yeah. So then, for example, if somebody, you know, suddenly pushes into them, pushes in and, you know, in front of them, then that enrages him and, you know, starts horning and comes out and
smashes the window.
Smashes the window, attacks the person, whatever.
Exactly. We'll come back to some of the solutions in the next episode, inshallah, and we'll have a look at these examples. Yes, brother, you have another example, Baha.
Well, I think I had a friend of mine who owns a cafe. You know, sometimes when you have a partner and you don't know how to deal with your partner, so that's what actually happened, and they broke up, like doing some bad things in an angry manner, you know. So that's
what did it lead to, Yanni?
They closed the cafe.
Oh, okay.
And
so
they lost money.
Yeah.
And they lost money.
So that's one very common example.
Yeah.
In fact, I was reading in the paper about how two very close friends, one of them actually ended up killing another because of anger. And this is how evil excessive anger can be. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked him for counsel or advice. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reply? He said, "La taghdhab," don't get angry, don't get angry. And likewise, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him for something that would save him from the anger of Allah, from the wrath of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied again, "La taghdhab," don't get angry. And some scholars have commented on the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "La taghdhab," don't get angry, and said that he was not actually commanding a person to rid himself of anger itself, but rather to keep control over it. And we can see this very clearly, because it's very difficult sometimes for a person to remove his own emotion or his own natural state, if you like. And there's always occasions where we get upset and we get angry, we get irritated. Mm-hmm. But Islam always comes when there are diseases in a person, or where there are natural diseases, if you like, then Islam comes and tells us to cure by controlling the disease, as opposed to just simply removing that disease. And we can see that in many instances. For example, Allah says in the Quran, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, that for mankind, for man, it has been beautified in them the love of desires from women. So Allah is telling us that it's a natural thing. It's a natural thing for a man to look at a woman and feel some kind of attraction there. But at the same time, Islam comes and doesn't say remove this quality or this attraction. Islam comes and says control it through marriage, through lowering our gazes when we're looking at non-mahram women and so on and so forth. In the same way, anger. Islam doesn't come and say totally remove your anger, but it comes and says you need to control that anger. And we can see this clearly in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if anyone suppresses his anger when he's in a position to give vent to it, then Allah ta'ala will call him on the day of resurrection over the heads of all creatures, and will ask him to choose any of the bright and large-eyed maidens that he wishes. So this is a very clear example of where one is supposed to, he has the opportunity to vent it, but he doesn't. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ said, the strong one is not the one who overcomes the people by his strength, but the strong one is the one who controls himself while in a state of anger. So we're not commanded to remove the quality of anger from ourselves, but we should act in a way to avoid the potential bad consequences of anger. And it's natural for most people to get angry when something annoys them. But we should restrain our anger and keep it under our control, so that it never leads us to do something which is forbidden in Islam. We'll take this on further after the break, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
And people need each other's, need scholars more than they need to drink and eat. Because even regarding what we drink and eat, we may not be able to figure out which is permissible and which is not. And is not preserved in the books only. The seerah of Prophet Muhammad is not preserved in the books only, but in the hearts of men. In the hearts of people who have devoted their time to seeking knowledge. Belief and trust, tawakkul, that none could take place without the knowledge of Allah.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about how anger is not something that we're obliged to remove totally from our hearts, but we have to control that. And forbearance matters most when a person is angry, not when he's happy. This is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that judge a person's forbearance when he's angry and his trustworthiness when he is craving for something. And he was teaching a very important principle here, that when a person is happy and content, there's no point in judging his tolerance, because in that state, it is easy for a person to be tolerant. What really counts is when a person is tolerant in a state of anger, perhaps when someone has committed an injustice towards him. And we can see a similar example in the wisdom for appointing an amir. What is the wisdom? I mean, Gulraz, we've been told in the Prophet ﷺ sunnah that if only three people or more go on a journey, they should appoint an amir or a leader. What is the wisdom behind that?
So that if there's any disagreements or any sort of arguments, then the Amir is there to give the final decision.
Yes.
So the Amir is there to be objective.
That's right.
So to be objective, yeah.
He doesn't have to, he can avoid all the arguments, or if there are, you know, certain arguments going on.
Controlling people, I think.
He can be objective and he can say, okay, this is what needs to be done.
Okay, but is there any, if somebody says, I always obey the Amir when we agree. If I agree with the Amir, that's when I obey him. Is there any virtue in that?
The whole point of the Amir is being there is when there's disagreements.
Absolutely, and this is what I wanted to hear. The whole point of the Amir is that he should be there when there is difference of opinion, when there's disagreement among them. Okay, because he should put a stop to it. So there's no virtue. There is no virtue for a person to say that, I obey the Amir when I agree with him. The real merit, and this is what it matters most, is that a person, he puts aside his own view and then follows the Amir when there is a difference of opinion. And in the same way, the real merit of, you know, being tolerant is not when everybody's happy and everybody's, jolly. The real merit is when a person is angry, then he begins to tolerate, or he begins to, he puts his forbearance into gear. And the causes of anger can be broken down into two primary types. And it's important for us to know the causes so that we can deal with the cures based upon those causes. And so there are two primary types. There's internal types and external types. As for the internal cause, this is what some people have been created with. Some people have been created with a natural tendency to get angry quickly. And the slightest irritation causes their blood to boil. And it's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has created people with all different strengths and weaknesses. And this is a test for every individual. One person can find it hard to control his anger, but easy to give in charity. Another could find it difficult to be generous, but he'll find it very easy to control his anger, and so on and so forth. So everybody's got their own personal weaknesses. So what is required of a person is to work on these weaknesses, such that he at least reaches a level of acceptance in Islam. In other words, that his weaknesses do not cause him to leave an obligation or to fail in doing a prohibited matter.
Sheikh, the companions have this weakness as well of getting angry?
Of course, the companions had these kind of weaknesses. In fact, you'll find that one of the companions, Usama ibn Zayd, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was told about a behavior that or an action that he did in one of the battlefields. He was, during the battlefield, a person said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah." This person was a non-Muslim. And Usama was just about to kill this person. And one could say that it was anger that led him to continue to kill him. Okay, one could say that. However, when he was explaining this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got angry, and he said, "Why did you do this?" He replied, he said, "Because he only said the shahada to save himself." Now, so this is one way of looking at this weakness. Inshallah, let's have a look at what some of the people outside they had to say about anger.
Anger is a natural reaction taken by any person when provoked.
An angry person may lose concentration, make fights with other people, and lose persons.
It is putting a pressure on the person who is angry and make him less behavior in front of the people.
You can notice someone's angry by the look in his eyes as he suddenly turns, as they suddenly turn red, and he is incapable of controlling himself. Mentally, he is weak. Physically, he becomes way much stronger than he could believe. And I know that from previous experiences.
Someone gets angry, lose his control, get frustrated, maybe get anger on somebody.
Well, he normally makes irresponsible actions, and he could swear a lot on people and could make fights with them.
An angry person, he does a lot of things, one of which he slams doors, he throws things in front of him, he puts his anger into other people, like fighting them, beating them, And sometimes he goes into wrong ways, like smoking weed, pot, or those stuff.
Very interesting comments there. We were talking about the different causes of anger, or the two main causes of anger. And we said that they're of two types. Firstly, internal causes. Internal causes when a person is naturally, he naturally feels angry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created different people with different weaknesses. And this person, he has the weakness of getting angry quickly. The slightest of any irritation, blood boils and, you know, all these kind of things. The second type of cause is the external causes, on the other hand. And these are based on the environment. A person, he might keep company with people who boast about their anger and their lack of forbearance. And they speak proudly about how they act in accordance with their anger and call this bravery or courage. So when a person keeps company with these types of people, he might eventually begin to glorify this excessive anger, and he might think that this is something good. And as the fire of anger gets severer, the person becomes blinded by this anger, and he becomes less and less prone to listening to advice about his temper. And if someone tries to advise him, he doesn't listen to him. In fact, this actually enrages him further. And if his intellect tells him something that he's wrong, then the anger gets the better of him and extinguishes any kind of rationale. And he's overcome with blinded emotion that he must act by. Now, anger affects a person differently. It affects a person's appearance, both on his tongue, on his limbs, on his face, and we can see that. So let's have some examples of how anger affects a person, Baha.
I think changing in his face color.
Yeah, some people become red, yeah.
Yes, and his eyes sometimes get red.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So, and making, like breaking something or... I think that's all in.
Yeah. Gurus?
Yeah, and for example, he would begin to sweat, you know, saliva will come out of his mouth.
Animal kind of characteristic.
Yeah, and...
Walking up and down,
you know, acting in a way that you wouldn't normally act.
And if he was to look at this later on, he'll think, you know...
He'd be embarrassed.
Right? Exactly, he'd be embarrassed to say to himself, is that really me? He can't believe that that's him.
He may begin to become violent, he may tear things, he may stamp, he may, you know, becomes very, very disgusting. All the animalistic characteristics become apparent in him.
And what if the person's not there? Then he's angry with someone who's...
I've seen it with my own eyes. He may even break a window with his bare fists. He may lift up a chair and throw it for the sake of it.
I know a person who actually threw his mobile phone out. Brand new mobile phone. Yeah. You know, very expensive. Got angry, out it went the window. Mm-hmm. And he regretted it later. Yeah. You know, and in fact, the phone didn't belong to him. It belonged to somebody else. So he had a big bill at the end of it. And this is some of the problems of anger, as we can see very clearly. And this is actually just on the limbs. We've spoken about, what about the tongue? I mean
swearing.
Cursing.
Cursing, swearing. And all these things are not from the characteristics of a Muslim. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. That if whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him say good or remain silent. Or remain silent. And this is not from the characteristic of the Muslim. We can see actually anger also has an internal effect on a person.
Even with the speech, sometimes it's not always the bad words. It's sometimes you say things.
Yeah, maybe an aggressive tone.
Yeah, or like maybe you say something about a person which may ruin the relationship.
Yes, exactly. That's a very, very good point, because two people, they may be good friends. A person says something in a state of anger, and he may not even mean what he's saying. But the other person, he's listening to this. He says there's no smoke without fire. He must have meant that. And this can actually ruin a person's relationship with somebody else. And this actually is just simply all these characteristics of a person, all of these characteristics, whether it's on the face, whether it's on the limbs, whether it's on the tongue, all of this put together, it's just a reflection of what is inside. And what's inside is actually much worse. Things like a person may have hatred in his heart, rancor, malice, jealousy, envy, and all these different characteristics, all of which have been prohibited in some form or fashion in the Sharia of Islam. Inshallah, in the next episode, we will look at some of the ways that we can control blind anger. And we can see some of the some of the things that a person can do, a person who suffers from this extreme anger. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.